morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I have someone on. And the days are getting shorter for these interviews with this lady. She is currently the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, Linda Tyer. And all I can tell you is this is July. We have August, September, November, or October, November. Wow, about four more months. Well, what are you going to do? Yeah, I know. We'll still do Zoom interviews. And
well, no, I'll still be mayor until the first Monday in January.
That's right. That's right. So, and then after that, we'll just do informal meetings.
Will you still invite me on the show after?
Yes, absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
I think I would really enjoy that.
Yeah, then we can critique everybody. All right. But hey, listen, I just want to say congratulations on the budget. That was not an easy haul.
Thank you.
And I watched almost all of them, except when my wife shut the TV off because of someone in that living room was yelling. And it was only
and I don't think it was Mrs. Sturgeon.
No. She has a saying, they can't hear you yelling at the television, but the neighbors can. So, you know, but it was kind of a bumpity bumpity road, but you got through it. Good luck to, you know, God bless you for getting through it. By the way, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, the Pittsfield School Committee, Mayor Tyer in the mayor's office, Peter Marchetti in the city council, and or Ricardo Morales riding his bike now southbound on North Street. I don't usually get upset, but I became with some of the questioning in the innuendo or the whatever of some of the counselors. I felt it was uncalled for and unfair and very unprofessional, for one thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was, every budget has its own drama.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's to be expected. We prepare for it. We can generally anticipate what questions counselors are going to ask, where they might want more information, where they might have some discomfort. We spend a lot of time, right? We spend mostly all of January, February, and March putting together this budget, working through all the scenarios. One of the counselors suggested that I just accept the budget that is submitted by the department heads, seeming to think that I don't have, like, that I just accept what's given to me, that I don't engage in a deep conversation with the senior leadership about their budget, that we don't, you know, make adjustments here and there throughout the budgeting process long before it's submitted to the city council. So let's just correct the record. On that point, there is a long, extensive discussion between myself, the director of finance, Matt Hurwood, and the department heads one-on-one about their budgets, how we can tighten up, what are your priorities, what are the things you're willing to sacrifice in order to do other things. So let's just say that the budgets that the senior leadership submits are almost always reduced by the mayor and the director of finance.
Yeah.
And you can see that right in the budget document that we give to them if you take the time to actually study it. So, but let me just say this, Bill. I would say that a majority of the members of the city council were very supportive of our budget.
Yeah.
They had a lot of good questions. One of the things that impacted the budget this year was the cost associated with the wages for the public school employees. Now, we had heard from the community, from the city council, that they wanted us to focus on raising the salaries for our teachers and also increasing the pay for the support staff. I agreed with that. I supported that. Those conversations happened. Those contracts were settled. And there was a cost associated with that. So We responded to what we heard from the city council. That has a cost associated with it. We're glad that our public school employees are being paid a fair wage. So I feel like, as I said, a majority of the members of the city council supported our budget, but we did have a few people who said things, as you suggested, insinuated things, without even bothering to ask a question to help clarify a point that they were making, because that's not what was in their best interest. They wanted to be able to cast doubt on the budget itself, on the process. And fortunately, the other members of the city council didn't fall for it.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I to me now, I'm a casual observer. I've been watching city council meetings when I had long blonde curly hair, so it's been a year or two. But I think this was the most except going back perhaps to maybe 20, 30 years ago. What was his name? He was a jukebox salesman. But anyhow, it was the most contentious. If I thought people were asking legitimate questions after doing, ready for this, their own research, I would say that's fair game, you know. But like I said, the innuendos, the accusations that you hadn't done your homework, right. And Matt Kerwood, you know, Squeaky, that's what I call him, he hadn't done his, those were unfair. In my opinion. The other thing, and I've got this feedback from some folks, quite a few folks, some people like to wave the banner for the taxpayers. Well, that's fine, but check first. Because I've spoken to people who are very happy with the police budget, with the fire department budget, because they know the services. Some people, I was just speaking with someone who moved from the South here. No, I'll rest that case. But anyhow, they said what they were paying in the South for all these things that we get included in our taxes, they were paying out of their pockets. Oh, I mean, right. We're paying out of our pockets too, but I don't have to pay the trash man every week.
Right, right, right. I mean, I think I made a point in this budget discussion relating to, you know, the taxpayer. And by the way, I represent them too. So yeah. I understand that we have to constantly balance, you know, what we need, what our obligations are, and what people expect us to do. But there's a few members of the city council that seem to suggest the budget is a punishment that we impose upon the taxpayer, as opposed to a method by which we provide services, right?
Yes.
When you turn on your faucet, you get clean water.
Yeah.
When your house is on fire, the fire department comes. When your children are ready to go to school, we have a comprehensive K-12 public school.
And buses to pick them up if they need it.
And, you know, when we need the police to respond to a crime or to a crisis.
Yes.
You dial 911, whether it's a medical, fire, crime, want an immediate response. Those things cost, you want the streets plowed so that you can get around the city safely. It all costs money.
And again, I don't want to belabor this because there's so many other positive things to say, but I'm not disappointed that I've got the new cast of characters here. That's what I call it. That are running for office, and some of them I recognize, and I've been counseling some of them for years. You know, get a hold of yourself, but they're not listening. You know, it looks like a good group of people that are running. You know, most everybody has a challenge except for Kenny Warren. He's in Ward, and I'm surprised at that because I don't ever remember a time in Ward 1 that there wasn't a challenge. Ward 2, Ward 3, Ward 4, Mr. Conan, he's got to get on the stick a little bit here on the ward. If he had an opponent, I don't think he'd win again. That's from, I live in that ward. And Patrick Cavey, he doesn't have anybody running against him. Ward 6 is incumbent Dina Lampiazzi and Craig Gaetani. Ward 7 is Anthony Mafuccio, Jonathan Morey, and Rhonda Sear. And school committee, they just got enough. So, it's going to be, I think, of course, oh, I'm sorry, in the first place, Marchetti for Peter Marchetti's running for mayor, Johnny Kroll's running for mayor, and Karen Kalinowski's running for mayor. City clerk, unopposed, Michelle Benjamin. At-large, Earl Persip, Pete White, Elisa Costa, Craig Benoit, Lucia Marin, Daniel Maraglia, and Kathy Archie Amuso. Well, that kind of shocked me too, but I don't. But anyhow, it'll be a wonderful election year, you know. And once the ballot's set, I'll send out the invitations, and I'll interview, like I always do, anyone who responds. I go back to, and you kind of alluded to this too, but Congress, and I paraphrase because I learned a long time ago on Capitol Hill, never quote a congressman unless you're reading it. Congressman Neal likes to come on this program because it's a conversation.
Right.
It's not a 15-second interview question that gets cut down to 4 seconds, and it may not be what you said.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't do any editing. But you, as you come, it's got to kind of be bittersweet for you.
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, you know, I've been in elected office for almost 20 years, starting out on the city council representing Ward 3, served time as the city clerk, which is an elected position, and now as mayor. So I have a very long tenure, and I am just in awe and grateful to the people who have entrusted me in these various roles for the last 20 years. I am just so honored, honestly, that I've had this much time and experience serving the people of Pittsfield. So I have a broad lens. I have a lot of experience, a lot of perspectives. What I will say about this upcoming election, first and foremost, is that I just want to thank everybody who put their putting themselves out there, right? Like running for an election is a big deal, and making your case to the people of your community is hard work. And so I'm just want to thank the candidates, all of them, for, you know, putting themselves out there, for making a contribution, for offering to serve the people of their community. You know, campaigning is daunting, it's difficult, it's exhilarating, it's fun, you learn a lot, you meet a lot of great people. And so, you know, hats off to all the candidates for putting themselves out there. And then I would say to the community, you know, the most important election that you participate in is the local election.
Right.
Because it's really where the most action happens that affects our community on a day-to-day basis. You know, we see voter turnout for the presidential election somewhere in the range of 60-65%. It's maybe a little less than that when we have state elections, when we're electing a governor. When we have our municipal elections, we very, very rarely break the 40% participation rate. But if you think about it, it's your local elected officials who are going to be the ones to decide whether or not we should build a new school, right? That's a joint effort between the school committee, the city council, and the mayor. That, you know, Governor Healey is not making that decision. President Biden is not making that decision. So I would encourage your listeners to take this election, this local election, and all future local elections very seriously, because get to know the candidates, learn about their vision for the community, understand who they are as people, what their values are, and cast your vote accordingly. And don't let, you know, one person decide for four people who the next mayor is,
who the next members
of the city council are. So I really encourage the community to get engaged in this process and learn as much as you can about the candidates, and please participate in this local process.
Yeah, and you just nailed it on the head. I mean, really and truly, we all vote for president, but, you know, I encourage people to go out and vote. And here's what also I also say, that if you don't vote, because I'm going to have Michelle and Heather on, we'll talk about the voting polls, where they're at, stations, I mean, and all that. And but they've got a few other things to do before that. But when you go into a cemetery and you haven't taken the half hour out of your life to vote, because that's an extreme, a half hour. But when you go into a cemetery and you see all those flags waving, say, I'm sorry that you at some point put your life on the line so that I could vote, but I was too busy. And I mean that from my heart. I do that. I hope people understand the importance of these local elections, because you're right. Nothing locally happens unless it gets by our city council, by our school committee, all of these. And it's so important, and for the future of the city, for the future of the kids, for the future of the old people, that we maintain the fire department who will be at your house in 6 minutes if you live on the outskirts. And I want to just take one moment and say to Chief Dowling, I'm sorry about your dad's passing right after you became the chief. It was acting chief. He was a good man, and so are you. Good luck to you. And this program is available to you or any of your department anytime you need it. But so with all this past now, we've got all these new elections. They're going to set the ballot, I think, on the 10th of August, right?
That's when the drawing is for the preliminary. That's right.
Yeah. And, I just really want people to, like you said, and I think it's so important, Linda, because there's a lot of people I don't know, but I hope they'll come on the program and I ask them all the same question. So if you're the first person, it's kind of ha-ha. But if you're the last person, you already know the answers. But but I'll throw some, other questions in too. You said it, get to know the candidates. What do they stand? I think what happened in this election, this past election, is that some people got in because somebody read their resume and they really didn't know the person. That's my opinion. And I think, and I tell people, you've heard me say this even to, if you're going to run for public office, shadow someone who's holding that position now. Because it's not, I remember I interviewed Councilor Lampiasi and Councilor Persip, and they spend Sunday afternoons reading all the stuff they have to read for the meeting. You know, one time I asked for it all, and I said, I'm not going to read all that. I'll wait till let them argue it out. But there's a lot of work to being in public office. It's not a lark.
You raise a great point, because the let's just take the city council agenda.
Yeah.
As an example. So oftentimes there could be over 100 pages of backup materials attached to that agenda. And so if you're going to cast a vote, and it's going to be an informed vote, and you can defend your vote to the community. You gotta look at the materials that my office and the other senior leaders attach to the agenda items.
Yeah.
As opposed to just reading the line, the summary on the agenda and making a lot of assumptions about what it is you're voting on. Right. So there have been times when, and I understand that sometimes counselors, and I did this when I was a city counselor, if I had questions about an agenda item, I would call the department head, talk ahead of time, ask my questions. And then I would say, I'm going to ask you these questions at the city council meeting because I think it's important for the public to understand.
Yes.
So there was like a partnership there. Now, sometimes what I observe is that the counselors, and this is not a majority of the members, this is a small percentage of counselors, yep, will ask a question that if they had read the information we provided,
yeah,
they would know the answer. Now, I understand that sometimes you ask the question simply to inform the public. So preface your question by saying, I've read through the documents, I understand what you're asking, but for the benefit of the public, could you just explain this point?
Yeah.
So, you know, I just have a lot of respect for elected officials who do their homework.
Yeah, and like I said, it's not an easy job. I think I applaud Councillor Persip, who said, we are here to make hard decisions. I paraphrase, make yes. hard decisions, not yes. easy decisions anybody can make. But the hard decisions, and again, I go back to say, stop saying it, you're doing it for the taxpayer. Please stop saying that, because until you polled every single solitary taxpayer in the city of Pittsfield, don't speak for them. I mean, I have friends of mine. I was at a place, I thought we were going to get thrown out of this place because two of my good friends, but they're just tired of that. It's a mantra that it's inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you've been elected because the people of Pittsfield trusted your judgment, knew that you would work hard, thought you would use common sense, be reasonable. So
courteous,
diplomatic, civil. So now you've been seated. It's time to do the hard work and make the hard decisions, as opposed to saying, we think we should ask the entire community of voters whether or not the chief of police should reside in Pittsfield. That is a public policy question.
Right.
It's a legislative question, and the members of the city council should be making that decision, as opposed to putting it on a ballot and asking the whole community to decide on a public policy question. I just do not think the same, I felt the same way about the bike lanes.
Yeah.
You know, you've been elected. Do your homework. Study the issue. Think about it a little bit. Talk to other communities. Find out what works. Offer a proposal if you don't like the one that we've submitted. Instead of just saying, we're going to just ask the voters what they want to do. Like,
yeah,
so I submitted a proposal on the residency requirement for the chief of police, the fire chief, and the commissioner of public services to live within a 20-mile radius.
Yeah.
If that feels like it's too far, or if you feel strongly that they should live in Pittsfield, say so.
Yeah.
Or offer an alternative. But to just say, we're going to just let the voters decide this one, that is not the hard work that's being asked of you when you're elected.
And if I may, We had already covered this in the beginning of the show. It isn't all the voters. It's a really one out of four, one out of three, whatever. And that person may just have an axe to grind. So I'll give you an example. Years ago at what they used to call the town hall meetings, you know, the annual meeting for to approve the budget. Well, the police always had a tough slug, you know, with the budget. How come you need new tires every set? We have one car and it goes 24 hours a day, you know, duh. But then it would come to, well, you know, like other, the fire department say, oh, they get what, but it's a misnomer to think if you put it on the ballot, it's a view of the entire public. That's my opinion.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
I mean, if we were getting 90% of the people voting, we'd say, well, that's a good, yeah, but we're not. So stop you. It's like all the taxpayer. I'm here for the taxpayers. Well, good. I'm glad you're there for the tax, but think what the taxpayers need and want.
Right. Exactly right. The taxpayer wants clean water.
Yes. Wants their garbage picked up. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm on this kick, but I really am on it.
The other thing, Bill, if I can just.
Yes.
There was also a suggestion during this budget session that the department heads and the employees, they don't care how much the budget is because they're not taxpayers. That is just simply a false statement. I would bet that more than 50% of our employees live in the city of Pittsfield.
Absolutely. I agree.
They pay taxes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
We have to get away from the dialogue, the hyperventilation, all of this, because it and get narrow it down. No one wants to pay taxes, first of all, no one. But I don't mind paying taxes because I know I've lived all over the world. I know the services I'm getting for my taxes. I think I've made mention of this before. Years ago, when I had a real job, I think it was quarterly, maybe semi-annual. We would get a breakdown of what we were getting, like our salary, our healthcare, blah 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 blah, and it made you say, "Wow, you know." And I think it would be nice if we say, "Okay, here's the city's budget. Here's what goes to schools." Elementary school, middle school, high school. Here's what goes to trash or sanitation, whatever you want to call it. Here's what goes to public health. And let people see, wow. And now I know, please don't tell man I said this, but I know it would be a difficult first time to break it up. But then you have a document to say, wait a minute, time out. What do you want to cut the trash budget? Well, here you go. That's what it costs each and every taxpayer.
Yeah. And the other thing that frustrates me during budget sessions, and this happens almost every budget session, and not by a majority of the members, by the way. This is, we're still focusing on a few members who...
But it drags it out, Mayor. I didn't mean to tap on you. It's how it's asked.
Right. That's right. But the we submit to them a proposed budget. They have an opportunity to cut the budget if they want to. They just have to persuade six of their colleagues to vote in favor of a reduction. And, you know, I understand they can nibble around the edges and maybe they cut 50,000 or they cut 25,000. But I just want to say this one thing. I would say so I have submitted 8 budgets as mayor. I think that 6 of those budgets ended up being higher than the one I submitted.
Yeah.
Because the members of the city council asked us to add things to the budget. And then when it comes time to set the tax rate, we go through this all over again. And some members complain about the cost of the budget and point out that it's too expensive and taxpayers can't afford it. Yet they were not, they didn't make any reductions. And if they tried, they couldn't get their colleagues to support it. So it isn't just the mayor and her team. They actually have a lot of power if they are able to persuade their colleagues that this is a cut that should be made.
Yeah. And another thing is, if you are on the council and you go out and you say, I want to, and your other colleagues don't go along with you, don't keep battling a losing battle.
Right.
I watched a couple of people just go on and on and on and on. And there was no purpose because you didn't have the votes. And I wonder, and I say this tongue in cheek because it's PCTV, but I wonder how long the meetings would last if they weren't televised. You know, I'm just saying that we got to televise. I mean, I'm all for that, but I just would say that's just me. But we got to take a break. This is Mayor Tyer. If you don't know who she is, she's been mayor a long time. She's got 20 years of elected service to the city. And in my humble opinion, I told her, don't leave the city clerk's job, but she didn't listen. So she went into the Oval Office and, well, there we go. We'll be right back. This is 89.7 FM on your radio dial, PCTV channel 1301. Please stay tuned. We have other battles we're going to have.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. I'm here with the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. We got a few more interviews left between now and when she rides off into the sunset to be just a citizen, Bill and Linda talk. Now it's Bill and the mayor. So, what's been the most rewarding part of being the mayor? I mean, to me, after the battling of the budgets and all this, and you're on a school committee, and what's been the most rewarding part of being mayor?
There's so many things that have been rewarding. So can I have more than one, Bill?
You can have as many as you want. Okay. You're the mayor.
So I would say one of the most rewarding things is spending days with this team of people who are hardworking, dedicated, creative, risk takers, watching them succeed, watching them offer up ideas that are creative, watching them lead their own departments, you know, sort of setting the expectations for the culture of our organization. You know, a lot of people forget that we are an organization of 450 employees. So I believe that part of the job of mayor, one part of the multifaceted roles of the mayor, is to lead the organization, to bring in the brightest people, to set the culture, to support them and give them the opportunity as the seasoned experts that they are to take a risk, try something new, be creative. So that has been very rewarding. It's also rewarding, quite frankly, when we have a controversial topic that's being debated in the community or being debated at the city council that was initiated by myself and my team, and we succeed. We might have a couple of weeks or a couple of months of debate and discussion, and maybe we make adjustments, things we hadn't thought of as an administrative team. And then we succeed and we put together a program that benefits the community, right? Sure. So like the At Home in Pittsfield program, that's been rewarding. Building the relationships across all sectors of the community has also been extremely rewarding. So one of my roles, I think, as mayor is to be able to walk among all a diverse community of people. You know, so I can talk to the business community and business leaders. I can talk to nonprofit leaders. I can talk to people who are in our neighborhoods. I can talk to a whole wide variety of people on a lot of topics. I have learned so much, Bill, in the 20 years, really, the whole 20 years of elected service. And that has been very rewarding. It's really... it's an interesting job. It's challenging. It's rewarding. Some of my favorite days are when I go into the schools and spend time with our students. Yeah. I love graduation day when we see the seniors graduating, going on to the next great adventure of their lives. I love being there to celebrate community events. Last night, I went to Tanglewood in the City and gave some welcoming remarks. I love solving problems. I'll tell you, I get frustrated when I'm solving the same problem over and over and over again.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Yeah.
Well, and that comes with government.
Right.
That in the private sector, because it's dollars tied directly to the issue.
Yes.
There's dollars tied directly to the issue in government, but government travels at a different pace.
Yes. Yeah. And I would also say that it's been very rewarding to be actively engaged with the Massachusetts Mayor's Association. To be selected to be their president for 2 years in a row is a great honor because these are my peers. Spending time with them shows me that we all are struggling with the same things like panhandling. It's happening everywhere and we all struggle with it. Getting very involved with the state agencies and, you know, using those relationships and pulling those levers to benefit the people of Pittsfield has been very rewarding. Working with Congressman Neal to get $3 million for Wacona Park is rewarding. So my days are much more rewarding than they are frustrating.
And you know, I'm glad you said that because but that's your personality. That's how you approach life, if I may. And I've known you a long time. And I try to do it that way. It's not always easy. But if I had a good friend, he's very sick now. He's very, very sick. He's on his last horizon, the last chapter of his book. But he used to say down in D.C., Bill, if it were easy, everybody be doing it. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah,
there really is.
There is. It takes perseverance, dedication, diplomacy.
Self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
How many times have you had to go to a meeting, go somewhere without the old guy? You know?
Oh. Yes. I mean, one of the things that will be nice about stepping down and going back into private life is, you know, I won't have to work nights and weekends.
I know. Yeah.
So
other than that, what else?
I might enjoy working a regular schedule, right? Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. So we're both looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I think there reaches a point, and I think we're seeing it on the federal level. There reaches a point when you really should step down. And not in your case because you're young, but I mean, I was my heart went out to Dianne Feinstein the other day. My heart went out to her because she wouldn't want this.
And even to Mitch McConnell,
who I
have absolutely nothing in common with. To watch him at that podium have that moment was heart-wrenching to see him struggle through that. And, you know, I would say that even if you're still young, even if you still have something to contribute, there's always a right time.
Yeah.
Step aside.
Yeah, I found that.
It doesn't have to be old age.
No. And there's a time when, and I think you've been good at this, and I'm sure I'll get some feedback, but, you know, I don't care. You've groomed a lot of people. You groomed a lot of young people whose first job or second job was, their first job was at the Friendly and their second job is in the city or with the city. And your management style, I wish more managers would do this. It's inclusive. Now, you may not agree with what the manager says, but when you don't belittle, attack, or whatever, but you give your side of the issue, say.
Right.
And say to them, here's why I disagree with you. I don't disagree because I don't like, it's got nothing to do with like. I call this all the time. Yeah. That's because you like her. I've had people on the show I wouldn't have a beer with a gun to my head, but they have a right to be on the show.
Right. I mean, it's so important what you're saying, Bill, because one of my goals when I walked through the door of the mayor's office was to make sure that first of all, I'm well aware of the fact that I am not an expert in every field of local government, that one of the goals was to hire great, smart people and trust them, learn from them. But I wanted to create an environment where everyone felt like they could contradict me and it wouldn't be a problem. There wouldn't be retaliation. There wouldn't be, this is how we're doing it. Because I viewed my role as I need to listen and learn and then make a decision. And all ideas are welcome. All contradictions are welcome, because the only way we can make smart decisions is if we're all comfortable talking, having difficult conversations, talking honestly to each other. That's been my management style. That's been my leadership style.
And I think it's worked well for this city. Now, I'm sure. But you know, sometimes Roseanne and I at breakfast, we sit and read the tweets or the whatever we call it of the post right after the show. Yeah. Some of them are very complimentary and some of them are, well, let's put it this way. I don't expect Christmas cards from them, but, we have, and I want to go off on this a little bit of a tangent because you do sit on the school committee. Boy, oh boy, they got some real issues coming up this year.
Yes they do, Bill, and these are all good things too. It's time for our community to have these hard conversations about the future of the Pittsfield public schools.
Yes, and I applaud Joe Curtis. I first met Joe Curtis many years ago in when he took over Morningside, and he said some things, and I've said this on the radio before, and this is why I kind of like him, admire him, and like the guy. I don't dislike it, but he said, I get up in the morning and I set a bar for myself. I set a bar for my kids. I set a bar for my teachers. I set a bar for my students. And I set a bar for my students' parents. And when you look at education, all of that comes into play.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
And if you watch Joe Curtis, you can almost see that bar. Mm-hmm. And it's higher for himself. it's high. He makes it higher for himself than others.
Yes.
And the other thing that I admire about starting with Dr. Eberwein and McCandless and now Joe Curtis is that when they come to the school committee, they come with data. They don't come with knee jerk. Wow, we had a bus crash. We don't want any more buses. You know, I mean, you're on that. You must admire that too.
I do. Let me just say that I really, really admire Joe Curtis, because there is no one that works harder than him.
No.
There is no one that has the heart and soul for kids and families who struggle. There is no one who uses data to make decisions. He is extremely thoughtful.
Yes.
Very detail oriented. And actually courageous, because some of the things that he's putting forward on the agenda for himself and the school committee are going to take courage. It's going to take courage to look at the future of our schools. And with declining enrollment, what should our schools look like? Maybe they'll look exactly like they do today, but maybe there's another structure. Yeah. What are we going to do? What's going to be our next school building project? How are we going to continue to make our schools feel safe for every student and every parent? Just in terms, I don't mean personal physical safety. Yes, I mean that, but also a place where they feel safe learning or experimenting. So I really admire him quite a bit.
Yeah, I do.
He has a lot to offer. And I think he has his big fans and he has his detractors, just like everyone who takes on a leadership position.
Or does a talk show.
Yes.
I was told by, you may remember him, Bob Burke, who was on PCTV a long time. He did radio. And he said to me, you know, when you're going to do your own show, here are the two ingredients. Consistency, so that at 12 o'clock, if they turn on that dial, they hear your voice. And content.
Very good advice.
And he said, for you as a host, you better develop the skin of an armadillo. Because no matter how much some people will like you, will there always be the detractors. And boy, I've seen it. I mean, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly side of this. And you've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly side of politics. But you're right. Whenever you put yourself out on Front Street in an effort to do good, I love this community. And this is my way. I started this, can't believe it, almost. Well, it's going to be pushing 18 years ago, because I didn't like some of the shows that were on and it was so negative towards the city. And it's easy to be negative. Sometimes it's harder to be positive than, you know. I have to tell you this about school and then we'll move on quickly. I had a violent youthful offender. You made it triggered my mind. And believe me, for me to remember anything today. He robbed somebody and he stabbed somebody. So he was in the penitentiary as a 17-year-old. And anyhow, I was talking to him and he said, you know, I was a behavioral problem. I said, you sound like you're proud of that, dude. Oh, he said, no. But I had to go. I had detention every single day. And I said, dude, you sound like you're proud. And he said, no, he said, I couldn't go home after detention, 4:30. And I said, well, you like detention? He goes, no, I didn't mind it that much. But he said, I said, well, what was going on? I said, didn't you want to go home? He said, home. My mother was a crack dealer. Home to me meant cops coming through the door, other crack dealers coming through the door, other crack addicts coming through the door, and most of them had beaten me up. So school to me, and I try to tell this to educators, to teachers, to administrators, school to me was a safe place.
Yes. Even though his behavior didn't show it.
His thinking was messed up. You know, well, I got to get detention today, so I'll do something stupid in class. Then he got the label behavioral problem. So no matter what he did, he got detention.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And I'm a big one for not labeling. So, just to say that safety, there's so much in that word safety in a school.
That's right.
And Joe Curtis sees that. And yes. His team sees that. You know, he's got a great team like you do.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate hearing that.
Well, you do. You've built a team that's important to the city of Pittsfield. Now, does everybody agree with it? No, I mean, but you're always going to have that. If you ever 100% consensus means you just died.
I mean, I think there's always going to be debate and understandably, rightfully so, in the community about our city, about how government works. And I never said we were going to offer perfection.
No. Right? Like,
we are going to embed ourselves in community life. We're going to make sure that we have the best people and work the hardest, but mistakes happen. This is a human endeavor. And, you know, mistakes happen and we're not going to be perfect, but we are dedicated. And I want to pivot to this discussion about motive, right? Like,
yeah.
Let me just say that at no point in the 20 years that I served as a local elected official, did I have a motive of causing harm.
No, I can believe
that. My motive was always, how can I contribute?
Yeah.
How can I make life just a little bit better or a little bit easier for as many people as possible? And so it's interesting when I hear someone who doesn't know me personally or isn't familiar with my work suggest my motive is about status or about
vindictive
or about just putting my own self into everything. So I think it's important when we're considering who we want to lead our communities to also examine motive.
Sure.
And what are people's intentions? What are their motives for wanting to serve? These are important questions to ask our candidates.
Yeah, and I hope I get them all right, because I'm working on the questions now. But the other piece too, before I let you go, is this: if you're doing this for whether it's this program or government or whatever, if you're in government, and I don't care whether you're a police officer in government or an elected official in government or a tax collector in government, there's a lot to be said for public service. That, you know, my dad was a fireman for 38 years with the city of Pittsfield, and that was his thing. I am a public servant. And he meant that. And I think I've known you a long time. I've known you from city council to the city clerk's job to now to the mayor. And I can honestly say to anybody who's watching or listening or whatever, this lady has always put everything above herself. It's the city, and I mean that. I've watched in City Hall with people who were irate, you know, and the darn license isn't going when, you know, Jesus, lady, chill out, you know. I mean, but I can't thank you enough for coming on. I got to promote Catherine's City of Pittsfield launches applications for the Citizens Academy. Otherwise, Catherine won't let me talk to you anymore. But Mayor, we have more programs to go. Thank you for delivering the budget. Thank you for being in it. As I told you to your face, thank you for always being the professional that you are, even when people who are supposed to be big shot college professionals and stuff act coarsely. That's just my opinion. And by the way, that is my opinion. Mayor, be well. I hope all works out on the personal side. And tell Catherine thanks for getting me straight again.
All right. I look forward to our next chat.
Bye-bye. Thank you for everything.
Of course.
All right, folks. We're having the City of Pittsfield launch its application for the Citizens Academy. This is a great way to find out about government. Class size will be limited to 25. Thursday evenings, August 31st through November 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. For more information, you can get a hold of Catherine Van Bramer at 413-499-9322 or C, all lowercase, CVANBRAMER at cityofpittsfield, all one word, .org. Also coming up is the Mountain One Berkshire Hills coming up for the 21st Hillcrest Educational Golf Tournament, Golf Classic, Friday, September the 15th. There'll be door prizes. There'll be all kinds of things. You can find out more by calling Mountain One or Hillcrest Educational Center. And there's all kinds of sponsorships available also. This one, to me, sounds fascinating. The 56th Annual Hilda Valen Figenbaum Memorial Foundation Lecture will be held Sunday, August the 13th, 7:30, Temple Ashenium, 26 Broad Street. And this year, it's Admiral James Stravatis, Vice Chair, Global Affairs, Carlyle Group, and Chair of the Board of Trustees at the Rockefeller Foundation. For more information or to register online and streaming details, you can go to www.ANSHEAMUNIM.org. So there's that one. Also, Clock Tower Artists will be open the first Friday and first Saturday of the new month. So they're at the Clock Tower, where the Eagle is now. It's an amazing artist community, amazing artists, amazing people. They're unbelievable. St. Agnes Academy 2023-2024 in Dalton is now enrolling pre-K 3 and 4 year olds. For the 2023-24 academic year. Children that are 2.9 years old on September 1st are eligible to enroll. Enrollment is also for students in grades K through 8. Bus transportation from 5 locations in Pittsfield is available for pre-K through 8th grade. More information, call St. Agnes Academy at 413-684-3143. It's an alternative education to public education. This is important. Super Soapbox Derby. That's going to be Saturday, August the 19th. Race takes place on Robbins Ave. In loving memory of Brian Goins, this will be a wonderful thing for kiddos. And there's so many people, West Side Legends, get a hold of them, go on their website. You can find out more. There's all kinds of people helping the kiddos build their soapbox derbies. And I can remember being in a soapbox derby when I was a kid. Also, this is important to me, very important to me. Coming in September September 13th through the 18th in the Dalton American Legion, in that lot, will be the moving wall, and it's called The Wall That Heals. And it exhibits 3/4 scale of the replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. That will be held, and it's sponsored by the Legion. It's a great history lesson for kids, grandkids, and everything. September 13th through the 18th, and there'll be more on that. We're going to be doing a show on that. I think it's this week, actually, coming up. So you'll find out more information about that. I can't thank you enough for watching and listening. Thanks to the mayor of Pittsfield to give me the time. And thank all of you. And like I always do, and I know it bothers some of you, but it's part of me. God bless. And let's take care of each other. There's enough vitriolic talk and meanness and hatred. Let's be kind to each other. Really. Make the world a better place, and you'll feel better. See you next time. Thank you for listening, and thanks for being so loyal to this station and this program.